Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
Hour number three of our weekly radio broadcast. The 10 o'clock hour, our open home hour, open to you, the Arizona homeowner. Whatever you want to talk about, your home, castle, or cabin, 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. If you have a photograph you need to send us, a picture to help describe the project or product identification, whatever the case may be, you can email those pictures to info@rosieonthehouse.com.
Absolutely. We're here, as I mentioned last hour, being at my house is like living in the future. We're trying to get you prepared for what we know is coming up. We've been trying to prepare our listeners for the monsoon event that we were all kind of hoping for several months. And we do that with the radio show. We do it with the newsletter that you can sign up for at our website, rosieonthehouse.com. You'll get that newsletter delivered to your computer mailbox every Thursday. Tells you what we're going to be covering. And what we covered in the last hour with the director of the Register of Contractors, Mr. Jeff Fleetham, who's always so generous with his time and his willingness to come in and share with us, came in for the whole hour and talked about what you need to be careful of in the case that this storm created some damage or necessary repairs at your house. It happens every storm. People are taken advantage of by unscrupulous people. We talked about that in the 8 o'clock hour, 9 o'clock hour. 8 o'clock hour, we were talking about composting. This hour, we're going to be talking about what you want to talk about, but we've also got another special guest, Mr. Craig O'Grady from Desert Sun Pools, Rosie Certified Pool Contractor. We're going to be talking about, okay, in monsoons, what goes into the design of a pool to keep it low maintenance in the first place, and how do you maintain it in a situation where so much biological matter and debris is being blown into it on consecutive days like we've seen in this last event. We've got questions, a lot of questions about the humidity in the air. Folks, I'm challenged on this every time I say it. I actually shot a video of it. Your air conditioner in this weather is generating between 7 and 10 gallons of water a day. I have my two air conditioners joined into one condensate that goes off the back of the roof. I'm collecting almost 20 gallons of water a day. Your condensate line, while the air conditioner is running, shouldn't be dripping right now. It should be a mild stream of water. And if you don't see that, you need to be asking yourself why. In that environment, with the dew point so high and the humidity so high, this is the one time of year we tell people, do not run your internal central air conditioning fan 24 hours a day. The air conditioner's job is to pull all that humidity out of the air, and it condenses on the coils that then drains, by design, to the outside. Well, if you keep your fan motor on, like many of you do all year long, you're then blowing all that condensation that's on the coils back into the house, which the air conditioner, when the compressor comes back on, now has to work to pull it all back out. So in the high humidity monsoon seasons, go over to your thermostat and make sure the fan switch is on automatic. Some of you leave it on year-round because you're trying to overcome hot and cold spots in your house. But this is the time of year your fan switch on your thermostat should definitely be turned to automatic. Okay? We talked a little bit about water harvesting. We're going to have Iris Hermosilla in, the meteorologist, for the weekly news broadcast on Channel 15 here locally, talking about this event that has just blown through the state. I mean, what's the backstory on how something like that gets built up to the point we get this kind of moisture? I mean, this was more than a typical monsoon.
Well, and they say the heat draws it in, and we had plenty of that this the last 2 months.
Man, we drew the moisture up from the south, and then the front coming in from Texas combined it. She's going to explain it to us here in just a few minutes, so it'll be a lot of fun to listen to Iris and all that event that we were talking about. So we're going to talk about that. We've got Craig O'Grady. We're going to talk about pool maintenance. We're going to be talking about ongoing monsoon prep and what you need to do to be ready to enjoy the rain when it falls from the sky. Not be overly concerned and anxious that you've got another roof leak. Let's welcome Iris into the conversation. Regular listeners of the show know I'm from South Louisiana, and I tell you what, this event that just moved through most of Arizona, if it had happened in Louisiana, we'd have called it a frog choker. I mean, man, did we have a rain event. And I wanted to invite Iris Hermosilla, the weekly meteorologist on ABC 15 Mornings in Phoenix, to join us and tell us a little bit about where did that thing come from. Iris, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, absolutely. Happy to be here. And quite a few days here in the valley, right? And really across the state.
It's spectacular. Where did this thing originate? What's the backstory on this storm?
Absolutely. So, you know, this is not necessarily like our typical monsoon storms in the because we have the monsoon moisture in place, right? So that's been streaming in for the last couple of weeks. And we've seen those thunderstorms here and there every afternoon and evening kind of firing up just as we typically do during the monsoon. But we've got a different player coming in here, and that's what's helping enhance that storm potential. So the moisture is there, and now we have a disturbance or an area of low pressure that's actually coming from the east, so from Texas, and it's moving through our state. And that's actually helping enhance that storm potential across Arizona. So we've got the moisture. But rather than just having to wait for that daytime heating every day to get those storms going, we have this area of low pressure that's providing the boost that we need for these thunderstorms to fire up. And so as it moves in, it creates these thunderstorms, and we've seen several rounds already. Thursday night into Friday, we're likely going to see, you know, more rain as we go through the weekend as this area of low pressure continues to push through.
Well, I've sat through monsoons in Arizona since 1965, and sitting on my back patio last night enjoying this event, it was as if someone had put a strobe light on my roof. I can't remember a storm that carried this much of an electrical lightning event. Was there something peculiar about this storm that made it more electrically charged?
You know, it's funny you bring up the strobe light because I thought the exact same thing as I, you know, woke up because I work really early in the morning typically, so I'm sleeping when a lot of these storms actually end up hitting. But I thought, what is going on? But you know what? I know it seems unusual, but it's not completely unusual. And one of the big factors at play when it comes to just creating lightning, a little bit of background for you. Lightning is like an electrical charge, right? So essentially within a thunderstorm, there are positive and negative charges. They build up, and then when they build up enough, you get a spark, and you get either, you know, cloud-to-cloud lightning or cloud-to-ground lightning. And, you know, one of the reasons that we're likely seeing more lightning with these storms is because of the amount of moisture in the air. So what happens is that moisture helps increase the instability in the atmosphere, and you get these really strong updrafts or rising air within a thunderstorm. And that instability then can lead to more lightning. That extra moisture will also help generate more ice crystals and small hail particles within the thunderstorm. And it's those small hail particles and ice crystals bumping into each other that essentially generate that electrical charge. And so when you have more of them, you have more of an electrical charge. And oftentimes you get more of that static buildup and more of that lightning and more of those lightning strikes. So when I say it's not completely unusual, a lot of times what you'll see is when we have, you know, for example, some tropical moisture flowing in, you get these thunderstorms that are capable of producing very heavy rain. And a lot of times you'll see a lot of lightning with those as well. And again, it has a lot to do with all of that moisture in the air. And this time around, while we don't have the influence of a tropical system, we've got the moisture with dew points that have been in the 60s to 70s yes. the last couple of days.
Yes.
And that is helping enhance that, you know, the lightning that we're seeing around the state with these storms.
Well, Miss Iris, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Sitting on my back patio last night, I went to my advanced lightning strike indicator on my cell phone, and the entire screen was lit up with lightning strikes. There were literally hundreds. And I thought, man, this is spectacular. So listen, so as a favor to me, Miss Iris, we'd like you to call up one more storm like this in about 10 days, okay?
Oh, okay. Why 10 days?
Well, give us enough time to dry out and let everything kind of reestablish and then bring it on again. This was spectacular. Thank you for the show.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's been really nice. And, you know, hopefully everybody's staying safe. I know we've had some damage too, and that's not what we want to see, but we will soak up as much of the rain as we possibly can.
Absolutely. And I'll do what I can on my part to keep these Arizona homeowners safe in their homes. You do what you can about keeping us in a perfect Arizona weather environment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Iris. One of the most asked questions at Rosie on the House this week is, can you give me the name of that guy that does lightning and surge protection?
Yeah, could you give it to me while I'm at it?
Yeah, yeah. So we had Bob Ross on a couple weeks ago, encouraging you all. I said that if I was king, if I could be king for a day, I would make whole house surge protection a code requirement. It's so affordable, and it's the best insurance policy you can buy for your house that never expires. If you're interested in whole house surge protection or lightning protection, give Bob Ross a call. His number is 480-229-2646. Then the second most question we had this week is, how do you properly secure a backyard shed? Gary, did you send that question in?
No, but it was asked last week, and I got to see that in action. I was running along the canal between McDowell and Thomas like I do all the time, and there was a shed in the canal. I stopped and looked. I
Oops.
Said, that's a shed.
Oops.
Oh, boy. So there's a timely question for it.
All right. We'll get to that when we get back.